G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Hallelujah. So we started talking last week about how to receive healing as a citizen of heaven. And I want to recap a little bit and I want to go on. I shared last week I had 5 points. I've actually consolidated it to 4 points. I only got through 2 points last week. So I'm believing God, believe with me that I'll get through 2 points this week and we'll get it all finished. Hey, this is I feel like the whole concept of healing, I would encourage you to be someone who regularly meditates and studies about healing, divine healing. Because that's God's will for your life and my life. Hey, last week I talked about how there's 4 major ways that people can receive healing. The first way is just naturally. Your body was designed by God to naturally heal itself. You get an injury and your body will begin to go into motion. Blood vessels that may have been cut or ruptured will begin to clot up. And blood flow will be constricted in those vessels. Isn't that amazing how blood can flow? The body will do that to stop you bleeding out. And eventually a clot will form. Also at the same time, there's all sorts of there's things that are released to combat possible infection, like white blood cells will go to that area and just take on any sort of bacteria or possible infection and to eradicate that. And so God is, he's set up our bodies just to heal itself. And you'll naturally heal, whether you're a believer or not. It helps to be positive. I mean, even if you're not a believer and you're positive, that can really help you to recover very quickly. But that's one way. Sometimes, though, some people have trouble in their body receiving healing. Sometimes there are complications and the body is having trouble getting that adjustment. And so you can go to a doctor, and a doctor can either prescribe medication, which doesn't heal you, but it can assist the body in its healing process. If the body can't heal itself, there's no doctor that can do anything. Hey. And so the doctors will just prescribe things that will help your body heal itself. Or sometimes they'll even help give you some advice about altering your diet, which can help. You know, like there's some cases where making a change to your diet can actually help you, hey, in terms of your health. Andrew was sharing the other week about how he had the symptoms of a cough and this irritation in his throat, and he couldn't shake it off. And he went and he was praying in tongues, and the Lord just gave him this revelation: stop putting cinnamon in your tea. And so he stopped it, and all of a sudden the throat irritation just went. Hey, I remember hearing about another guy, and he was just getting really ill, and he didn't know what was wrong with him, and he knew in God's ability to heal. And for some reason, he's extending his faith, and it's just, he's not breaking through. And he's lying in bed this one day, and the Lord said to him, just add a little salt to your diet. And so he did that. He added a little salt, and within like a day, all of those things just lifted. Now, some people would say, well, why didn't God just heal him? But see, if you don't fix the source of the problem, the sickness will come back. Hey, if there's a lack of salt, yeah, God can heal that, but then the sickness will be back again a little bit further down the track, because the salt, that lack of salt, hasn't been attended to. And so anyway, the second way is basically seeing a doctor, and they can help you with it and talk to you about your diet and medication and all that sort of stuff. Third way that we talked about that you can receive healing is through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of faith. And that's not God's best. Hey, and I talked about that last week, so I don't want to go into it. And it's basically, the major reason is, those gifts were put in the body of Christ to help, number one, immature or young Christians who don't understand how to develop their faith, and maybe they've got a life-threatening illness, because sometimes it takes a little bit of time. If you as a lifestyle develop your faith, you can get to a place where you can just receive healing just constantly from God. And that's my fourth thing that I'll come to in a moment. But sad to say, too many in the body of Christ are depending on the gifts of the Spirit, which were put in the body of Christ to help immature Christians and non-Christians. God wants to equip us with these gifts that we can go out in the street, the marketplace, our workplace, our neighborhood, and we can demonstrate the kingdom where you're ministering to someone and you know they don't have faith and you just don't have time to go through it all, but you can just lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's got nothing to do with whether they believe or not. It's got everything to do with God and his power working through you. And God does that deliberately. But do you know, it's impossible to please God without faith. Is that right? So obviously the gifts of the Spirit can't be his greatest will. It's there for those who haven't developed their faith sufficiently or those who don't even know about faith and how it works and stuff. The fourth and final way is what I started talking about last week and I want to finish this week, and that is applying your faith in the Word of God. Understanding you are a citizen of heaven. And if you're a citizen of heaven, you now operate under the laws of heaven. There are spiritual laws that govern the spiritual world, just like there are natural laws that govern our natural world. And the thing is, with spiritual law, it supersedes natural law. And so understanding how to use your faith in the Word, you can receive healing as a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3 verse 20, give me an oy if you're there. All right, it says, for our citizenship, everyone say citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a scripture I wanted to just show you, that our citizenship as believers is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. In fact, there's another scripture that says you are ambassadors of Christ. There's another scripture in 1 Peter which says as aliens and as journeymen abstain from fleshly lusts. Understand that you're passing through. This is not, you're no longer of this world. You live in it, but you've been transferred. Your citizenship is now from heaven, and you represent the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And so when you need to receive healing, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctors. It's just mighty inconvenient, especially if you've got a number of issues going on. Hands up if you've discovered going to the doctors can take up a lot of time. Anybody discovered that? And it can absorb finances as well. You might be on a healthcare card and stuff and you might be able to save, but it can still rack up in terms of cost, having to take time off work, having to rearrange things at home. It's really inconvenient. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctors, but it's just inconvenient. And as a citizen of heaven, God has a better way for you and I to be able to receive healing. I'll prove it to you. When he created Adam and Eve, did he set up a doctor's clinic just outside the Garden of Eden? If they need anything, just go see the doc. He didn't. When people came to Jesus, he was a representative, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere he went, he would preach about the kingdom of heaven. Did he ever go when people came up to him and say to them, look, go and see the doctors. Hey, this one, they're going to have to help you. I can't do anything. No way. There was never a time where Jesus didn't have an answer for any sort of illness or infirmity that a person was struggling with. They didn't have to be referred anywhere else. That design has not changed. That didn't change from the Garden of Eden. It didn't change when Jesus came as the second Adam and demonstrated how we should be living. And it hasn't changed for us. And to me, that's an awesome thing. Hey. Now, you may not be there yet. You might, your faith may not be there. But the reason I'm sharing these messages last week and this week is to help you develop your faith and help you understand these are things that you can put into motion, believe God, that you can increasingly receive healing from him directly. I think it's wonderful that Joy and I, in our own experience, we've gone to the doctors less and less and less. And we're not expecting to go to the doctors more and more. We're not expecting for us to go. But if we need to go, we'll go. And you do the same. But believe God that you can develop more and more and more where you just realize, you know what, I can't remember the last time I've ever gone. It's like, wow, it's been that long. And just God just been looking after me. Have a look at Colossians chapter 3. You know, we see, like, some people act as if, like, all Jesus did was he came and he died on a cross and he healed people. But that's not all he did. He went around the villages and the towns and he preached. And what would he preach? He would preach about the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he wanted people to know how it worked so that when he left, they could receive directly from God. Otherwise, why bother teaching anyone anything? If all he wanted to do was just heal people and that was it, he'd just be silent, just go and heal everybody and just move on his way. But no, he wanted to equip people to understand the heart of God, that God is for you. And he would say things like, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give to you? And he would encourage them about how the kingdom of heaven is like a man who scatters seed in the ground. And he sleeps by night and he rises by day, and the seed grows up of its own accord. And what was he talking about? He's talking about everything in the kingdom of heaven is like seed. So that's like righteousness, wisdom, faith. All of these things are like seed, and you plant the seed and you sleep by night and you rise by day, and this seed will grow of its own accord. You don't have to say to the seed, grow. Come on, hurry up, grow. Do you? Seed just naturally has this inherent ability. If you just look after it, like what Joy was talking about, you water it, you ensure there's no weeds around it, you plant it in good soil, it will grow of its own accord. And everything in the kingdom is like that. If you're struggling with bad habits, then go to the Word and begin to fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God about how He is your strength, how He is your ability, and become aware of His overcoming ability in you. And soon you'll find those things that once held you no longer have any power over you. You know, one of the biggest things you can do if you're struggling in an area and you feel like you're failing constantly, one of the biggest things you can do is reject condemnation. The scripture says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hey, and you were put into Christ. You were baptized into Christ when you were born again, hey. And you can't come out of him, hey. If you really want to, but who wants to? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Now, I want you to notice this is talking about citizenship. We're citizens of heaven. And here it's saying, seek the things that are above. Don't get caught up down below. How many of us get caught up down below? Someone ignores you at work and it's like, what's wrong with them? Didn't have their Wheaties this morning, hey? Well, I'll show them. Next time they say hello. Instead of getting caught up down below, let's seek the things that are above and let's understand. You know, if someone is doing something and you got hurt as a result of it, why don't you invest some of your time in praying for them? You don't know what they've been going through. You don't understand. We just caught up with someone just yesterday and they were getting these, they had a really bad, this guy's not a Christian and he'd had a really tough week and had got really quite sick and it was going to bed early, like about 8:30. And he got up this one night and he had like 6 or 7 text messages that he hadn't heard because he'd just fallen asleep. And that by the time it got to the 7th one, this person who'd been texting him for the last couple of hours was going through him like, oh, you know, like, who do you think you are ignoring my text messages? And just really going on. And this guy was just asleep. He had no idea. Could it be that maybe you've misunderstood what someone you thought did something to you? Maybe there's a completely legitimate reason. And even if there isn't, can't you walk as an ambassador of Christ above those things and begin to walk in love and so love and kindness instead of retribution and revenge? I want to read that same passage from the New Living Translation. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. I love that, hey? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. You know, sometimes we can just go through, you know, like we're just going through the routine. And sometimes, you know, you've just got to be faithful in doing the routine. It just doesn't seem like anything amazing is happening. But as you continue to do that, you seek what's above, not what's below, and understand that as you're doing that, you're doing what God wants you to do. And you'll find the routine will turn into the remarkable. God just has that ability to do it, hey. But there are times where you've just got to be faithful in doing those little things day by day. And then you get the breakthroughs that come. So anyway, I don't want to talk too much. I just want to just say that God's design is for you to enjoy health as a citizen of heaven. And that's why Jesus went around preaching and teaching people about the kingdom of heaven. So last week we looked at, number one, if you want to receive healing as a citizen of heaven, recognize that it's God's will for you to be well. Right? That's just, if you don't know that, if you are not convinced, and this is the major reason why people fail to receive. Because what happens is they'll start believing God, and then they don't feel any better, and they go, well, I guess God didn't want to heal me. So you have to be convinced, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what the doctors have said, regardless of what anybody else is saying, you have to be convinced it is God's will for you to be well. You know, if God had his way, you and I would not be sick for a single second, not even for a millisecond. If God had his way, you and I would be free of it forever. So why aren't we? Because God doesn't always get his way in your life and mine. The more we yield to him and let him have his way, the more we'll begin to enjoy. Particularly if you yield to him in the area of health, the more you will experience, and certainly that's been my experience, the more I experience health. Hey. So healing is God's will. It didn't pass away with the apostles. It's not something that you've got to earn. God doesn't use sickness to teach people things. You aren't sick for the glory of God. It's not something that only God decides who gets and who doesn't get. And they're all things that we addressed last week and we looked at in detail about. These are common things that people talk about, you know. Oh, you might be sick for the glory of God and different things. And you know, a simple way of just of making up your mind about what is God's will, particularly with healing, is just look at Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to know what is God's will about sickness, look at Jesus. Because there are numerous times in the scriptures where it talks about he healed everyone. Let me read a couple to you, hey. You don't have to turn there, I'll just read them out to you. Matthew 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with all sorts of diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Not one exception. Not one time that Jesus stopped and said, no, I think God's trying to teach you something with that epilepsy, eh? You go and have a nice day, but learn what God wants to teach you. Not a single, you know, surely with all the multitudes that he ministered to, surely there would have been some cases. Surely he could have turned around to that paralytic and said, no, that's for the glory of God, hey. People will glorify God when they see you in that bed. Not one. Jesus demonstrates. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hey. Matthew 8, verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Matthew 9, 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that's basically, just to recap that first point, you need to be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt it is God's will for you to be well, regardless. It has nothing to do with the lifestyle you've lived, whether you've been good enough, whether you've read your Bible enough, or whether you've come to church, you know. God's not going to look at you and say, no, look, you know, like, I look at the last 3 months, mate, you missed 3 times there. And once you were late. If you can make it 7 times in a row, I'll give you a star. You get 5 stars, you get an answer to prayer. God will never, he never does anything. You don't have to earn the healing, do you? It comes by grace. You activate your faith. The things you do will impact on your life, and it can bring sickness in your life, but you don't have to earn healing. We'll talk a bit more about that a little bit later, hey? There is an importance to going to church and reading your Bible and praying and doing all of those things, but it's not to try to earn your healing. The second point we talked about last week is God has already done his part and provided healing for all of us through Christ. Hey, well, you're not waiting for God to do anything. He's waiting for us to walk in the knowledge that everything is done. That's why Jesus said it is finished. Because everything was done. God's plan of redemption and rescue for mankind was completed when he was nailed to that cross and when he went to hell and he rose from the dead. And it's done. All the healing that God's ever going to do has been done. All of the forgiveness that God will ever extend has been done. Jesus is not going to be nailed. If you sin tomorrow or later today, he's not going to be nailed to the cross again. He paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future. And Hebrews 10 verse 14, I referred to it last week, it says, for by one offering he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You've been perfected forever, and it's got nothing to do with you doing right. You're not made right by doing right. It says that. You can check it out yourself. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. It says, a man is not made right by doing right. A man is made right by trusting in Christ. It's your faith that makes you well, both physically and spiritually. So God's done his part. He's forgiven all your sins. He's healed all of your diseases. He's provided all the wisdom you'll ever need. It's already deposited within you because he lives in you. He's provided everything you'll ever need. His love has been shed abroad in your heart. Everything has been poured within you. And that's why in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, by his wounds you were healed. Past tense. You're not waiting. It doesn't say by his wounds you're going to be healed. By his wounds you were healed. Hey. And so healing is a done deal. It's settled forever. And if you want to receive healing as a citizen of heaven, you need to recognize not only is it God's will for you to be well, but he's already healed you, and that healing is deposited in you. You might not feel healed. It may not have manifested in your body, but the healing's already within you. You're not waiting for God to do it. He's already done his part. You know, if Micah wanted to borrow our car and I threw him the keys, I said, yeah, no worries. Go for it. And then later he came and he knelt before us and he said, look, I know I'm not worthy, but can I borrow the car? Please. I will vacuum the house every day if you let me. And I've already said, yes, you can have it, and I've given him the keys. I'll vacuum every day. Please, please. Would you just stretch forth your hand and let me borrow your car? You know, I'd be a little bit confused, hey? Like, well, I already said yes, and I already gave you the keys. Like, yeah. He's going, yeah, I know I'm not worthy. Please, please have mercy on me and let me borrow your car. Can I please? I'll put the fuel in it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just if I could just borrow the car, I really need the car. And I said, yeah. Micah, I've already given you the keys. You can take the car. And then later he comes and prostrates himself. And he said, I've been fasting all day. If you could just see fit to let me use the car. You know, if God could be confused, which he can't, but if he could, I'm sure he would be, with the way some people act. Because the scripture clearly shows that healing has already been taken care of. And people act as if, like, God, if I can just convince you, please, I know I don't deserve it, and I know I'm not worthy, but if you would just heal me this one time. And he's looking and he says, I'm sure if he could get confused, he'd probably turn to Jesus. Didn't you die for them? Didn't you already bear their pains and their sicknesses? Do you get the point? Stop asking for something he's already given you. How do you respond to someone who's asking, if you've given them something and they're asking you for the thing you've given them? It's like, oh. Yeah, I've already given it. And I'm sure, well, I don't think God is confused, but we need to stop trying to get something we've already got. Philemon, turn to Philemon chapter 1. Man, I haven't even started the 2 points yet, hey. I just got to do what the Holy Spirit shows me, though, hey. Do I hear an amen? I just feel like these are some things that really need to be sorted out. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Give me an oi when you're there. Philemon. Philemon. There is a Philemon, yeah. Yes, it is. Philemon. I think it's, what is it, after Thessalonians, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, that's right. Okay, look. Just note it down. I'm just going to read it out to you. Philemon's verse, chapter 1, verse 6. It says, the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What I want you to notice is this scripture says, your faith becomes effective as you acknowledge every good thing that is within you. What are the good things that God's put within you? He's put the fruit of the Spirit. He's put love. He's put joy. He's put peace. He's put patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Has he put wisdom within you? Yeah, because the Spirit of God's within you. Has he put victory within you? Has he put healing within you? Yeah. Is his presence within you? What about the resurrection power of God? Is that in you? This scripture says your faith becomes effective as you acknowledge every good thing within you. The more you acknowledge that healing is within you, the more that healing will begin to rise up and flow into your body. Acknowledge the things you've already got. Stop asking God for things he's already put within you. Just begin to acknowledge what he's put within you. Our problem is we spend too much time in the physical realm, hey? Believing what our body is saying, believing what the doctors are saying, and not believing what God is saying. Now we've got to stop that. I'm going to read these scriptures out because I really want to get, I'm believing God to finish this message, but you can write these down and look these up, and I would encourage you to do that. This message will be up by Tuesday. The first part is already up and it's a free download, and I'd really encourage you to get it and meditate on it until it becomes your revelation. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given. Everyone say, has given. His divine power has given. That means it's already done. Now listen to this. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given you everything you'll need for this life and to live a godly life as well. Would that include healing? Yes, it would. You're not waiting to be healed. You've already got the healing within you. You just need to stir it up from your spirit and let it rise up and bubble up into your soul and into your body. That's an awesome thing. You know, it's not hard. Like, if you're coming from a standpoint like, I've got to get this healing, then it's just so much difficult. When you realize, you know what, I've already got it. God's not backward about it. I've already got it. God's already given it to me. I just have to acknowledge what's in me already, and my faith becomes effective. That's what Philemon, did you guys find it? Philemon's 1 verse 6. Yeah, okay. Your faith becomes effective as you acknowledge those things. Hey, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hey. All right, let me get on to the last two points. Hey. Number three, to receive healing as a citizen of heaven, you need to use the authority that you've been given over sickness. God's already done his part. You know it's his will for you to be well. You need to exercise your authority. Understand, he's given you that authority over sickness and disease. Now, you can write these down and look them up in your own time. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the scripture says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The healing's already within us. We have to take our authority and command sickness to leave our body, or if we're praying for someone else, use our authority, understand that God's given us authority, use that authority to drive the sickness out. That was Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 and 17. Oh, sorry, 17 and 18. Use your authority. God's given you, you know, and that this is a big, this is where a lot of people know it's God's will for them to be well. A lot of people understand, God, well, you've done everything about healing. Well, why aren't I healed? Use your authority. God's already done his part. Use the authority that he's given you and command that thing. You know, you can make healing manifest in your life. You can make people, well, you know, I'm just waiting on God, you know, like it's just his right time. I'm just waiting for the divine time. Where, show me that in the Bible where it says that about healing. There's never a single case. If you look at the life of Jesus, there was never a single case where he said, it's not your time. At the right time, you'll be made well. Whenever someone approached Jesus for healing, he would heal them immediately. There were some people that got healed gradually, but that was usually within minutes or within the hour. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with a gradual healing. I've had gradual healings come on me, but I'm believing for instantaneous. And let that be your expectation as well. But I'm not going to complain about a gradual healing. In fact, I've got a testimony I'm going to share towards the end of this about a healing, a great healing that I've just been rejoicing over God about. In Acts chapter 3, have a look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. We read the story about Peter and John and how they went to the temple to pray. And as they came to pray, there was a man who was lame at the gate Beautiful. And he was begging. That's the way he made a living, because he couldn't do anything else. He was lame. And so he would beg at the gate and people would give him a few coins and he would hope that it would be enough for him to see through to the next day. And then he'd come the next day and do the same thing. Well, along come Peter and John and they come past this man. You know, I've often thought about this man. I've often meditated on this story, because this man was lame for a long, long time. Hey, there's a strong possibility that Jesus might have walked past him on numerous occasions, because there were lots of sick people. Jesus didn't just heal anyone. He healed the people that came to him, that desired healing. And if this guy had been doing this for years, undoubtedly Jesus must have walked past. And he just didn't, for whatever reason. And even in this case, as Peter and John are coming to the temple, he's still not crying out for healing. He's not asking them. He's asking them for money. And in verse 6, what's interesting, in verse 5, Peter says to him, look, you know, look at us. And the guy looks at them. And then in verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. Because the guy was looking, hoping that they would give him some money. And Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. So Peter had something. What did he have? He had authority. He had healing. And he was authorized to use that healing. Notice he said, what I do have, I give you. Use what you've got. Healing is within you. Use the authority that God has given you to cast and drive sickness out of your life. It shouldn't be in your life and it shouldn't be in my life. Begin to develop in this. The more you stir yourself up and meditate and develop this and practice it, the better you'll get at it. It's like anything in life, isn't it? The more you practice it, the better you get at it. It's exactly the same with healing. You know, John G. Lake had a team, because the demand on his ministry, he was an amazing man of God. Saw remarkable healings. In fact, in Seattle, it's on record that they closed down the hospitals. All the hospitals in the city were closed down because John G. Lake's ministry was so effective. There was just no sick people. What an amazing thing, hey? What a witness. But the demands were so great on his ministry that he trained up a group. I think it was about 100 young men. And he trained them in how to minister healing. And this was the commission he gave to them. He said to them, when I send you to go and heal someone, you are not to return back to me until they're healed. And the longest any one of them, and this happened for a number of years, the longest any one of them ever took, didn't matter how serious the condition was, the longest time someone took was 3 weeks to come back and get their next assignment. There's so much in this word that we have, you know, before us. There is so much that God wants to do through us. Why are we settling for second best? Do I hear an amen? There's so much, and we need to, you know, you're not going to get it just like, wow, it's my lucky day. I guess God's just going to use me. You can develop it. You keep acknowledging the good things that are within you. Philemon chapter 1, and I know you guys have found it now. It says, as you acknowledge every good thing within you, your faith becomes effective. Say, I have authority. I've got authority over sickness. I've got authority over poverty. It will not come in my life. I will not allow it in my life. Jesus has given me authority. I lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture what you're saying. Say it after me. I lay hands on the sick. I see myself laying hands on the sick. I see myself laying hands on people who are ill. And they're recovering immediately. Healing is flowing through me because I have authority. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. That's how you acknowledge the good things within you. You just say those things like that. Close your eyes and picture it. Harness your imagination. Let it build the picture. We need to use what we've got and resist the devil. Hey, how do we resist the devil? Yes, with the word of God and our words. Hey. Remember Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, oh God, please remove this mountain from my life. Is that what he said? He said, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea. How many people are praying for God to remove the mountain? You know, even the song that we sing, I like that song. You know, it talks about Savior, he can move the mountains. And my God is mighty, you know, the mighty to save song. But really, the focus is wrong in that song. Yeah, he can move the mountains, but he's given you and I authority to move the mountains in our life. He didn't tell us to ask God to move the mountain. He said, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea. So what does that mean? Use the authority I've given you. Tell the mountain to go. Stop talking to God about your mountain and start talking to the mountain about your God. Get out of my life. Whatever it is, anything that's not of God, pain, get off me. You don't belong with me. Jesus, you carried my pain. Get off. You've got to assert your authority. I remember, I love the story that Joy told one time. She was exercising and there was this pain in her hips and it was just a nagging pain. And it was hindering her being able to walk. And she just, this indignation, this anger just rose up and she just stopped and she said, get off me in the name of Jesus. And there was a guy there's a guy watering his garden. And he looked at her like, whoa. But see, she didn't care. She was sensitive to God and not sensitive to anybody else. We need to be more God-focused and less earth-focused. That's what that scripture says. Hey, put your minds on the things above and not on the things on the earth. Use what you've got. Speak to the problem. Command it to go. Oh, one of my favorite stories is a story that Andrew Warmick told about he went and he was ministering to this lady and she had a friend who had numerous illnesses and basically these things were incurable. I can't remember what the medical names of these conditions were, but she had a number of things that just complicated and with one another so that they couldn't even prescribe medication to try to manage these things. She would have to wear clothes with magnets to try to ease the pain. But the doctors had diagnosed her with pain, constant pain, at a level of 11 out of 10. That was just normal for her. That was the best that they could do. This lady, and like they thought that she was going to die, yet for 2 years she'd survived with this thing. But it couldn't have been much more than survival. Can you imagine being in that much pain? And so this lady said, I've got, would you mind ministering? And Andrew said, yeah. And he said, good. She said, good. I've actually called her and she's on her way right now. And she came in. She was a Christian. She didn't understand much about faith. She didn't really understand much about healing. And Andrew began to minister to her and began to show her some of the things that we're looking at. It's God's will for you to be well. That God's already paid the price. That healing is a done deal. And then we have to exercise our authority. And so the woman came to a place where she was ready to receive. And so Andrew said, well, I'm going to use my authority and I'm going to cast this thing out. Are you ready? And she said, I'm ready. And so he said, in the name of Jesus, I command all pain to leave this woman's body now in Jesus' name. And that's all he did. And instantly, he looked at her and he said, now, how does that feel? And she goes, it's gone. And she got up and she moved herself around. She said, it's all gone. She said, the pain's gone. It was the first time in 2 years, like 11 out of 10 to zero. The first time. Can you imagine what a burden that must have felt like to come off? And she's going, it's gone. She goes, but there's a burning in my back. She goes, why didn't that go? And Andrew said to her, he said, well, you didn't tell me about burning. You told me about pain. He said, watch this. Put his hand on her back and he said, burning, get off her in the name of Jesus. And that had gone. And she was just delighted. She's thinking, this is awesome. And then he just began to minister to her and he said, now listen, you need to understand. The devil will try to contest you sometimes. He'll try to put certain symptoms on you to try to convince you that you weren't healed. And he said, you've got to stand against that and stuff. And they had a wonderful time. They had a cup of tea and just rejoiced. And this woman was just, she was just so raptured. You know, she was just so happy that she was free of pain. Anyway, it came to the end and Andrew started to walk out and this lady and a friend whose house it was were walking Andrew out. And as they came to the door, the lady looked at Andrew and she said, that burning's back again. And Andrew said, well, you know what to do. And she said, that's right, I do. And he said, well, do it then. So I've written this down. Hey, this is what she said. She said, Father, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed, and if I was healed, then I am healed. It's your will to heal me. I claim my healing in Jesus' name. By your stripes, I was healed. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it's not going to heal anyone. There's nothing wrong with thanking God. It'll stir your faith up. Praise stirs up your faith. That's how you acknowledge the good things. But you could only activate your faith through your authority. Andrew said to her, he said, is it gone? She said, it's not gone. And he said to her, do you know why? Now listen. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you listen. Because this is the difference between victory and failure in so many people's lives. He said to her, do you know why? And she said, I don't know why. And he said, you didn't do what I said. You thank God for your healing. I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to tell that pain. She said, you mean I've got to talk to the burning? And he said, exactly. Just like Jesus talked to the tree, you talk to the burning. And she said, all right. She closed her eyes. She said, burning in the name of Jesus. She opened her eyes. She goes, it's gone. You got to use your authority. Stop waiting for God to do it. He's already done it. And he's put it in you. Acknowledge what's in you. Give him thanks. Stir up your faith. And then activate your faith through your authority and command the thing to be gone. Hallelujah. Are you having a good time? You know, God gave me a revelation of this just recently. It has just tickled me so much. And the more I meditate on this, the more it blesses me. You know, you treat anything that's not of God. We're talking about sickness now. But anything that's not of God. So if it's a financial challenge or if it's any other issue that you know is not of God, you can treat it the same way. You can't treat people like this though. You can't use your authority on people. You understand? God never exercises his authority over people. He's not going to let you do that either. All right? But you can over like things like finances or certainly with sickness or even situations in your life. Maybe you believe in God for a job or a better job or a promotion or whatever. You can use your authority. God showed me that you treat sick, we're talking about sickness, but you can apply this to anything else. Treat it like a disobedient dog and command it to go. And like, we look after Joel's dog and he's a little mini foxy terrier. He's like this big. He's tiny. I mean, like, he just goes higher than your ankle. The cat is bigger than him, right? But he thinks, you know, he thinks like he's 5 meters tall. You know, he struts around and prances in the backyard like he's a giant. And, but, like, he has a problem with barking. And so it really irritates the neighbors. And so we put a muzzle on him whenever we go out just to curb the barking, right? He hates the muzzle. He just, you can just see, he just feels like a little grasshopper once he's got that muzzle. He's like nothing. His tail's between his legs and he's just completely... But he hates that muzzle. And when it's muzzle time, he knows when we're going out and he knows it's going to be muzzle time, he goes and hides in his little kennel. I've made like a little bed for him under this desk and he goes and hides under there and gets as far away from me as he can. That's his little safe spot. And so, you know, like I call him, I command him to come to me. I go, get here. And he'll kind of, like, he'll be looking at me, and as soon as I'll command him to come, he'll look away, hoping, like, I'll go away. I know he's heard me, hey? And then I'll say, hey, get here. And then he'll kind of sit up, but he's hoping that I'll stop. And I'll say, I said get here now, get here now. All right? Then he'll start moving, and he's like this slow motion, yeah, like, like he's a short dog, but he gets right down to the ground and he's just like, yeah, like slithering here. And I'll get him to come right to where, like he'll try to stop partway, but I'll go, no, not there. I said here, right here, on this dot, here. And he'll come to me. And I remember this one night, God opened my eyes and he said, that's the way you treat sickness and infirmity. It is a disobedient dog. And you continue to assert your authority. You know, when I say to him the second time, get here, I don't say it because the first time didn't work. It worked. He heard me the first time. Every time I say it, it's confirming to him he has no choice but to obey my voice. When you have a symptom in your body, I hope you're seeing what the revelation, you know, when you've got a symptom and you command it to go, you can command it to go again, but don't command it because you believe it didn't work. Command it again, knowing that the first time worked and the second time is going to reinforce what you did the first time, like the disobedient dog. Get here. Come on. Right here. Now. Here. Or with the sickness, it's like, get out. Get. Go on, get. You don't belong on me. Anytime you think of that pain, get off. No, not having you. Off. And you're not saying it because it didn't work the previous time. You're saying it because you're reinforcing your faith. You're reinforcing your position. Nah, you have to listen to me. And the more, like I've noticed, the more I assert my authority with the dog, the less he argues with me and the quicker he comes to me. It's the same with authority. Practice your authority. Use it. Treat sickness like a dirty dog. Hey, praise God. How are we going? I had so much else to share. Okay, let me go to the final point. I'll skip some things and we'll go to the final point. So number one, you know and convinced that it is God's will for you to be healed. If you want to receive it as a citizen of heaven, you have to settle that. And it's not in your head, it's in your heart. Settle it in your heart. Number two, recognize that God's done everything, that healing is a done deal. You're not asking him to do it. He's already done it. Number three, use the authority that he's given you to command those things that are not of God to get out of your life. And then the fourth point, on what you believe. Act on your faith. What do you believe about sickness? What do you believe about healing? What do you believe about finances? What do you believe about any of these things? Act on what you believe. Put it into action. James chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it out. Verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without actions is also dead. You know, if my spirit were to come out of my body would just collapse to the ground. Some people might run here and try to resuscitate me, but my spirit might be right there watching. I remember Joy, before she became a Christian, she actually died. She was in hospital and she died. Her spirit came out of her body. And she actually floated up into the corner of the room and she's looking at all this medical staff rushing around trying to resuscitate some lady on a bed. She's thinking, man, that looks pretty serious. Who's that person? And then she's looking closer and she's suddenly realized that's me. You know, when your spirit comes out of your body won't function anymore. They couldn't resuscitate her because her spirit wasn't there. The life is in the spirit, isn't it? Thank God he had mercy on her. Because she would have gone to hell. Once you die, that's it. But God, because of his mercy, put her back in her body. And then she resuscitated. You know, just like when the spirit comes out of the body and the body dies, your faith without actions is dead also. You can't say you've got faith unless you are acting on what you believe. You can know it's God's will for you to be well. You can know and recognize that healing has already been taken care of and it's within your spirit. You can exercise your authority till the cows come home. But if you don't act like you're healed, it's not going to work. There has to be some way you can put what you believe into action. I remember when my back blew out and the hospital had said, you're going to be out for at least 6 weeks, possibly 8 weeks. And I said to Joy, I said, I'm not having this. I'm not going to stay at home for 6 or 8 weeks. Now, I didn't feel like I could get over this hurdle instantaneously. But I said to Joy, I said, agree with me. I said, I'm not going to be in bed for longer than a week. I'm going to be back at work within a week. She agreed with me. We prayed. And within a week, I was back. I was up, out of bed, walking around. In fact, I was up, out of bed within a day and a half. And then within a week, I was back. Now, that wasn't God's best for me, but I'm on a journey. And I'm developing it, just like you are as well. Hey, and the more we practice it, the better we get. But you've got to act. I had to act on my faith. Well, at the start, I remember when I came home from the hospital, man, I was in so much pain. I was sitting there and the devil was having a heyday and he was just saying, you are not going to survive. It felt like I wasn't going to survive. I just thought this pain was the most intense pain. It was probably like a 9 or a 10 out of 10. It was like I'd never felt anything as bad as this. I could not sleep. They had already pumped me full of painkillers. In fact, the next day I said to Joy, I don't think these things are working. So I stopped taking them. Then I realized they were working. I started taking them again. I will take questions in a little bit. But I had to act on it. And initially, the next morning, the only way I could act on it was just begin to thank God. Oh, God, I just thank you. I don't have to have this pain, not for a single second. You are so awesome. And I just began to laugh at the devil, just began to worship God. To me, that was putting my faith into action. Later that day, I said, that's it. You know, if I'm healed, what am I staying in bed for? So I got up and I started to walk around. That wasn't easy. That hurt. But I started to do that because I believed that I was healed. And then healing began to work and it began to flow. And soon the pain began to ease more and more and more. You've got to act on what you believe. Hey, I had an awesome testimony. Well, for me personally, it's really awesome. About 8 months ago or 9 months ago, I began to develop pain in my left shoulder, and to cut a long story short, it's called calcific tendonitis. It's like a buildup of calcium in your tendon, and from what I understand, there's no real easy way to get rid of it. You can have an operation, but it'll put you out of action. Like you will not be able to move your shoulder or your arm for 6 months. They can actually poke needles into your tendon and try to break up the calcium and hopefully that it'll absorb, but that doesn't sound like a lot of fun either, being like a pin cushion. And they can give you painkillers, but that's not going to cure it. It's just going to delay. So this thing began to get increase in its pain, and my ability to move my left hand, my left shoulder and my left arm began to get severely limited. I couldn't lift up my left arm. I couldn't stretch it out after a while. I couldn't lift up things with it. It was just getting. But I knew in my heart. Point one, I knew it's God's will for me to be well. It's not His will for me to have this for one single second. Now I knew this thing wasn't life threatening, so I just thought, you know, I'm not going to go to the doctors. I'm going to use my faith. This thing is going to go because Jesus already paid the price for it. So I began to activate my faith. I knew God's your will for me to be well. Healing's a done deal. I began to use my authority. And I began to command this thing and resist the pain. And This went on for probably a period of about 8 months. And then just a few weeks ago, when God gave me that revelation about authority, he also showed me, he said, you haven't been acting like you're well. And I realized that I'd been making room for this thing. The way I'd get dressed, I would try to do it in a way that, because like it would just, I was constantly in pain. But if I moved it, you know, if I tried to stretch it out or do, like if I tried to do that, it would just be in pain. If I tried to lift it up, I'd be in pain. So I would try to get dressed in a way that I would minimize the pain. And God showed me, you're deliberately doing it to accommodate that thing in your life. If you believe you're healed, then why are you getting dressed a different way to the way you normally get dressed? And I realized, of course, that's right. And so I was exercising my authority. Get off me in the name of Jesus. You are not going to stop me getting dressed. And I just began to get dressed the way I normally did. And within the next couple of days, this thing just lessened and lessened. It's just like every day. And I would say to Joy, look at my arm. Look at this. Look, I couldn't do that before. Look at that. And it just began to, and God just set me free. Hey, you got to act on what you believe. Now, when I had the back, for me, the best that I could do was just praise God at the start. But that was putting my faith in action. Then I began to get up. You've got to act on it. You've got to do something. Smith Wigglesworth was ministering to this lady, and he ministered the word of God to her, and she was almost in a coma, and she was on death's door. And he said to her, you have to act. There's got to be something you put into practice. You've got to act. If you believe what I'm saying, you have to act. Do something like you're well. And she was like in a half coma, and the best she could do was move that finger. And Wigglesworth saw her move the finger, and he said, that's it. That's all I need. And he just began to command her to be well. He commanded the sickness to get out of her body, and she died. He grabbed her corpse, dragged her out of bed, and plastered her in the corner and held her up. Wigglesworth was a big man. He was a plumber. Held her up against the corner, and he said, you are not going to die when you've exercised your faith. In the name of Jesus, you come back into your body. And then he let her go, and the body just slid down. Picked her up again, pinned her to the corner. He said, I said, wake up in the name of Jesus. She opened her eyes and began to breathe, eh? And she was well. There has to be a way that you can act on what you believe. It's not enough just to assert your authority. It's not enough just to know that God wants you well. It's not enough to know that he's done it all. You have to act on what you believe, or you don't believe it. I remember Kenneth Copeland talking about how he'd come home from a campaign. Can I share a couple of stories? Because I want to finish with this. This is so important because I know it's going to minister, it'll minister to you, but I know it's going to minister to a lot of people who will get the downloads. Hey, Copeland had come home from a whole series of campaigns, and he'd been away from home for several months, and he was just enjoying being home. He was watching TV. It was late at night, and everybody had gone to bed, and he got up, and like, he'd been traveling for so long. And when you travel and you're in different hotels and different houses, you get very disoriented. You forget where you are and which way to go. He forgot he was home, and he turned off the lights and he began to walk across the lounge room, but he forgot he was there, and he forgot that there was an ottoman there, and he whacked his foot and he broke his toe. And he knew his toe was broken. He felt this excruciating pain. And he turned on the light and he had a look at it, and the toe was pointing in the wrong direction. Yes, Joy knows how that feels. And anyway, so he actually grabbed it and he straightened it with his hand. And he said, now in Jesus' name, Father, you said in your word, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, I believe I receive healing for my toe. So in Jesus' name, I declare that I'm healed. Went to bed. Got up the next morning. His foot was in excruciating pain. And the devil said, look at your foot. And he said, what do I need to look at it for? My foot's fine. But he felt the pain. I mean, it was painful. He could feel the swelling. Got up, walked as best he could, without a limp, trying to walk without a limp, to the kitchen. Gloria noticed that something was wrong. She could see the countenance of his face. She knew better than to say, what's wrong? What's wrong with you and stuff? She just said, well, praise God. Hallelujah, Lord, I just thank you that you are good. You're good to my husband. You're good to me. And Kenneth began to praise God, and they both began to praise God. And then finally Kenneth said, Gloria, last night, my foot struck the ottoman. And the devil's trying to convince me that my foot's broken, but I've prayed. And Jesus said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He said, I believe my foot's well. And she said, amen, I agree with that. Well, he had a couple of appointments in town. So he squeezed his foot into his shoe, swollen as it was. He drove into town, went, came to the office of this man. The secretary was there. She said, yes, can I help you? And he said, do you know Jesus, when he was alive on the earth, he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And he said, last night I hit my foot on the ottoman and I broke my toe, but I believe that I received my healing. And I just want to let you know that I've been healed by Jesus. She didn't know what to do. She said, I'll go get my boss. Finally, she was told by her boss, let him in. So he went in to see the boss. Oh, no, sorry, hang on. There was someone else. There was another assistant. Copeland went through the same thing. Do you know Jesus, when he walked the earth, he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. He said, last night, and he told him, he said, my foot's healed. I want you to know my foot's healed. This guy said, I'll just go get my manager, you know. So he went. So Copeland's in the showroom. There was all this agricultural equipment. And so Copeland just sat in like a tractor that was on display there. And he just began to worship God, just saying, God, I just thank you. Thank you. I don't have to have this pain anymore. It's gone. It's gone. Hey, because I've already spoken to it. I'm acting on what you believe. I just thank you. It's gone. And all of a sudden, the pain just lifted. Hey, and he was completely healed. You have to act on what you believe. Andrew Womack was talking about how one time he was on his farm and he was actually far away. He was about 13 kilometers from his house. And it was winter and it was snowing and there was this embankment, steep embankment. So he was sliding down this embankment. Yeah, it was snowing. And he couldn't see, but there was a tree with its roots kind of coming out of the ground. His foot got caught in one of the roots and twisted and he broke his ankle. Ended up rolling down the hill. Got up, his ankle was broken. It's winter, snowing, and he's 13 kilometers from home. He commanded the pain to leave, and he commanded his ankle to be mended, and then he jogged all the way home. When he got home, his ankle was like more than double the size. It had swelled up. It was bruised. It looked awful. But he didn't care what it looked like because he'd already prayed, and he was acting on what he believed. He went to bed. The next morning when he woke up, it was gone completely. No evidence of it at all. Never had any niggling pain. Never had any issues with it since. You have to act on what you believe. Some people say, yeah, but if I do that, I might hurt myself. Well, it depends what you believe. Do you believe you'll hurt yourself? Or do you believe that you're healed? Now, don't do this because I'm saying it. This has to become your revelation. You need to look up these scriptures that I've been referring to and meditate on them until they grow in you to a place where it's not like, well, Les said that Andrew Womack did this and Les said that his shoulder did this. Don't do that. You meditate on it until it grows so much in you that even if the doctor says this is incurable, you'll never get better again, that you'll be able to look at him and say, that's what you say. But my God says that I'm well already. Let it grow until it becomes yours. And then act on what you believe. One more story and we're going to finish up. Because I want you to see the pattern. I want you to understand this is God's will for you and I. We don't have to go to the doctors. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors, but believe God to come to a place where you, as a citizen of heaven, are exercising your God-given rights and your authority and are staying free from sickness and disease. And there's no need for you to go. You have to go, go. Andrew Womack's mum, when she was 94 years old, she fell, landed heavily on her left hand. I think it was left. Anyway, something was wrong. It was in pain, tremendous pain. Andrew said to her, do you want me to pray for you? She said, no. She said, take me to the doctors. Went to the doctors. They did an x-ray. It was her hand, her fingers and her hands, the bones, had shattered into 1,000 pieces. The doctors came and showed the x-ray and they said, there's nothing we can do. You are too advanced. It will take forever. You're just going to have to get used to not using this hand. We're going to put it in a cast And you're just going to have to wear a cast for the rest of your life. We'll just put a fresh cast on regularly. But this thing is not going to heal. This is the way it's going to be. So they put a cast, brought her home. She looked at Anne and she said, I'm not having this. What do I have to have this for? Soaked a cast in some water, got a knife, cut the cast off. She said to Andrew, get me a rubber ball. He got her a rubber ball, she put it in her hand, and she just began to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Don't tell me that would have tickled. But see, you act on what you believe. If you believe that you're not well, you're never going to do that. If you believe you're healed, well, you're going to do that. And she just sat there and she squeezed and she squeezed and she squeezed and her hand became perfect. No pain, nothing. At 94 years of age, hey, lived another few years and then went to heaven, hey. And on her deathbed, before she went to heaven, she looked at Andrew, because Andrew's ministry is just so amazing now. And he was telling her about the things that had happened in the ministry. And she said, Andrew, you know that you're not smart enough to do all of this. This is God. And he goes, yes, Mom, I know. It's God. And it's good, eh? What power and authority God has put in our hands. And why are we settling for chicken feed? It's about time you and I began to continue to stir these things up and see them working at greater and greater levels. Now listen, you may not start off with instantaneous healings, but don't be discouraged. Start developing it. Look at these things. Let them become big in your life, bigger than anything that you're facing. And then you'll see those things that you once thought were so big will just fall off and vaporize. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that as citizens of heaven, we can experience healing and live in divine health all the days of our life. And it's got nothing to do with the genetics, what we've inherited from our parents or our ancestors. It's got nothing to do with what doctors have diagnosed. It's got everything to do with what you've said in your word. And your word has already said, by your wounds we were healed. And healing is within us. And we give you thanks and praise. Just give him thanks and praise right now. Lord, we just thank you. The healing is within us, Lord. Victory is within us. We acknowledge every good thing within us. Love has been shed abroad in our heart, Lord God. We just acknowledge these things. And we thank you, Lord. Your presence is in us, Lord God. Wisdom is in us. We have everything we need to be more than conquerors, to be overcomers, and to win at every turn. And all God's saints said, amen. Amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.